get me started.
Well, if you can't laugh in church, I would say God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Five of your kids have walked up to me and said, was I going to say that? I always say that, and I appreciate it. I want to tell you, I debated whether I should. Matter of fact, I've debated since last September when we decided to do it. That I'm 66 years old, I've been in ministry 43 years, and I've been saved 54 years. About the time Noah was building New York, I got saved. Amen. And about 3 years ago, I went into Pulpit Supply. Aren't you glad I did? Because Pastor Boone's sick. If I wasn't here, y'all'd have to listen to Stanley or somebody. Boring. Yeah. And I've always been treated well. I've been coming here almost as long as Pastor Boone has been the pastor. You folks have always treated me and my wife with such great love and respect, and we love you. We're going to camp. She'll be 70 in June, and I'll be 67, and we're still going to camp. Amen. We've been in camp for all our married lives. And 1 year I didn't go, and the camp just folded. Why isn't Brother Andrews here preaching? It was a transition period. But what I want to tell you, and I hope it comes out right. I hope you don't think I'm bragging. I've never been in the ministry for money. And I appreciate what all the churches do. Some churches are very generous. Some churches, it's a song and a prayer to get home. It really is. They just, you know, well, the preacher only preaches 1 hour and gets all that money. But whatever you give Wednesday night, that's the night I come back. That's the good night. That's the night you need to be here. Whatever you give, my wife and I last fall set up what we call a needy fund. And we take it all except our gas money and our tithe. And we put all that money in a special account. And then when God lays somebody on our heart to help them, we can write a check. So what you're giving Wednesday night to me or what you gave me today all goes to that fund. It doesn't go to me. And I'm thankful to God that I can do that now. I really am. And I do not want you lining up at church saying, I'm in the needy line. Help me, Brother Andrews. We'll leave that up to the Holy Spirit, okay? But I appreciate all that you do. I appreciate that Pastor Boone, he probably didn't take my advice. I just prayed coming over here, Lord. He said he was coming to church at 11 o'clock, and I don't need the crud he's got, and you don't need it either. Isn't it amazing that most Christians who get sick will stay home 9 Sundays? Brother Boone wants them to trudge on in here and be a good soldier. There's a difference between being a good soldier and a stupid soldier. And a stupid soldier will give you what he's got, and I don't want it. So I've been very blessed not to have it, and I love the pastor. I said, stay home. You got good qualified men. I'll take care of it for you. Anything goes wrong, we'll blame Stanley. Don't worry about it. So I'm glad he stayed home, because he's got a very long week, as you folks do, and I hope that you will come. I hope you will bring people. But you ask yourself the question. I was listening to pastor's son-in-law in Sunday school and his testimony. And how many of y'all remember when Valley View was packed? I mean, it was packed. The other building, you couldn't see them all. And if you got here late, you had to sit behind the pole. You could hear the preacher, but you couldn't see him. And then you moved into this section. Now, all churches have ups and downs. I was telling Sister Sherry, we go to Clearbrook. Pastor is Brother Brian. He's 28 years old. Unmarried, ladies, should you be looking. And we have 2 services, one at 8:30 and one at 11. And if you're not in your place by 10 minutes 11, you don't get a seat at Clearbrook. That's just the way it is. Well, can that happen here? Amen. You don't sound too excited about it. Can it happen here with a new pastor? You are recording this. I want him to hear what they're saying. No. You have a great pastor, you have a great pastor's wife, and sometimes when the church goes down, we blame the preacher. When the church goes up, we might thank the pastor once in a while. I want to tell you something. Pastor has nothing to do with it. Anything gets done here, he's the mouthpiece. It's the Spirit of God that does it all. I was talking to Pastor Vest up at Faith Missionary during our camp meeting 2 weeks ago, a week ago, whenever it was up in Snowville. And they have had 13 people saved since 1st of January. Amen. mostly adults. And they have been Mormon. They have been Catholic. They have been Jews. Searching for the truth. And I know Valley View well enough to know the truth is proclaimed here. So you may not like what I have to say this morning from the Word of God. That's all right. I didn't come to win a popularity contest. You don't like what I have to say, take it up with the Lord. Take it up with the Lord. Ask Him. I'm not going to step on anybody's toes. If you go out walking like this, it's going to be because the Holy Spirit got a hold of you. If you let Him. We have the power to quench the Spirit of God. So all that said, let's look at Colossians chapter 3. It's 11:45. Ain't no way under heaven I'm going to finish at 12 o'clock. So forget that deal, okay? Yeah, any time that I go over at Valley View, no charge. Amen. You mean you're charging us to be over here? I'm driving a Ford. I have to charge you. Colossians chapter 3, and if you are able, would you mind standing as we read the opening of the Word of God? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. The Scripture says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You reckon he's talking to the independent Baptist there? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness or maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Father, we thank You today, Lord, for Your love and for Your mercy. And Lord, Your servant is just a human being. And we do pray for Daniel today, Lord, as he tries to recuperate, try to do the things, Lord, that You've called him to do this week. And so just a special touch on Daniel today. And then, Lord, I ask for a special touch on me and a special touch on these people. Lord, I thank You that You still give me the wisdom and the power to preach by the Spirit of God. And Lord, keep my words straight and true to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. I want to share with you, with whatever time that it takes me to get it done, grave, G-R-A-V-E, grave clothes or grace clothes, G-R-A-C-E. Which clothes are you wearing today? Now, in my lifetime, as in some of your lifetime, we have smelled death. I'm a veteran of a foreign war, and I have walked through areas and counted bodies that had been laying in the South Asian sun for hours, sometimes days. The smell of rotting or burning human flesh is nothing. I don't like to go to funeral homes. I know that the person there can't hurt me or do anything. I just don't like funeral homes. I'll tell you this, I'm glad we're going somewhere where there ain't going to be no funerals. We're going to live forever with the Lord if we know Him. But you folks are in what they call a country church. But that doesn't mean you're dumb. I'm driving a blue Ford out there. Forgive me, but I am. And on the back of that truck, I've got some clothes I want to sell after church. I went to Jeff Gardner, pastor of Lamplight. He's a mortician as well. And I said, I want to buy some dead people's clothes. He said, well, I have to go out to the grave and dig them up. But I'll dig them up and I'll get the clothes, any size, any sex, any measure. I'll get those clothes and I'll clean them and I'll bring them to you. Now, anybody here today want to buy my grave clothes? Why? Because they were on a dead person. Because they have a peculiar odor about them, even if you clean them up. Yet most of you today say that you're saved. And I'm not going to doubt that. I'm not going to try to put a question mark in your mind. Probably most of you are. Why is it that when you got saved, God enshrouded you with His righteousness, not your own, and with the blood of Jesus Christ, and some of you cannot wait to leave this building and put your grave clothes back on? And the world knows the difference. They know if you are truly walking with the Lamb of God. And there's nowhere in Scripture that God said you would be perfect. I talked to a pastor in Nelson County about 2 weeks ago, Southern Baptist Church. He said, I don't understand why my church is not growing. And we had gone up there to visit a millionaire friend. He's been up there years. And we went up, went to church with him, had lunch with him, just enjoyed the day up there. I don't understand why our church is not growing. Well, when he detailed and examined the problem, he found that there were three or four people in his church that absolutely, positively would not forgive their brother or their sister. You done me wrong and come hell or high water, I'll never forgive you. I'll tell people I have, but I'll never forgive you. You need to get the grave clothes off. If you want the revival that you've been asking, and I was invited in late December, early January, don't remember, by Pastor Boone, and I marked it on the calendar, and I started praying about it and what message that God would have me to bring. And folks, they said, your meeting starts tonight. It started when you decided that you're going to give it all to God. That's when the meeting started. I mean, we just want so much to feel the Spirit of God. But some of us are saying, hey, look at me. And we're wearing those smelly old grave clothes. Years ago, you, like me, put on the grace clothes. By the power of God, we're saved. And we're on our way to heaven because of what Jesus did on Calvary. But some of us like those grave clothes. Amen. Nobody's going to know what I'm doing out here this week. Nobody's going to know what I'm saying. Somebody told me a couple of weeks ago at Clearbrook, Brother Andrews, no matter what happens, I'll never forgive you. I said, for what? Now here's what they said. You know, I can't read minds. I mean, I'm good at a lot of things, but I can't read minds. Tell me what I've done wrong. I will publicly stand in the pulpit with the pastor, and I'll make those things right. Because I don't want your smelly grave clothes on my grace clothes. Amen. I want to live my life for God. And when I sin, I want to truly seek God's forgiveness, because He says this, if you don't forgive, He's not going to forgive. Amen. How many of you need a miracle? I'll put my hand up. I mean a real miracle. The only way that this is going to happen in my life is if God does it. I believe I read, and God's got to do it, and God can do anything with anything and do a miracle. You remember the blind man? He said, Lord, have compassion on me. And Jesus said, what is it that you want me to do for you? And he said, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus spit on the ground in the dirt and made clay and applied it to the man's eyes, and he saw. So you don't have to have anything extraordinary. Jesus used spit and dirt to do a miracle. You don't have to have 57 years of education. You just got to have a call from God and then get up and do what God's told you to do. Amen. And I said, ma'am, you and me are going to stand before God one day, and you're going to tell God what it was I did, and I can't forgive you, but I go home. And you know how I forgive people? Let me see them through your eyes, Lord. The brother was talking about divorce. I can't say I know how Daniel's husband feels. I've been married to the same woman for 47 years. That's because she's done everything I told her to do. Boy, y'all don't believe that one, do you? We've learned to give and take. We love each other. We've had some real difficulties in our marriage. And I've said, what is it that I have done wrong? Now, fellas, if you're married, just go ahead and apologize as soon as you get out of the bed. Because somewhere through the day, you're going to mess up, and she's going to say, I told you, stupid. Am I getting to owe me or uh-huh? Okay. We men are so dumb. Thank you, ladies. Paul says that we're expected, and he exhorts us to live a holy life. In verses 8 through 10, he exhorts his readers to put off the grave clothes of sin and the old life, and to put on the grace clothes of holiness and a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read all of that and study it, Paul's emphasis is on emphasis. Motives. What motivated you to come to church today? Well, I've been doing it for years. Daniel Boone ain't the best, but he's all we got. How many of you knew he wasn't going to be here before you got here? And then, well, one or two of you. And then you showed up and you saw me. Aren't you glad you came? Yeah. Now that part gets erased. He'll kill me. But he's one of those men, like most pastors, including me, we got this idea that God saved us and we can do anything. We can in the power of Jesus Christ. Outside his power, we can't do nothing. You see, Valley View is not about Daniel Boone. Valley View is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's not being exalted, you have put the grave clothes on. God didn't say, come here, young'un. You wore them grace clothes long enough. I'm going to take your salvation away from you, and I'm going to let you wear these grave clothes for a while. I'm going to let you walk around this world and stink to high heaven. God won't do that. He'll never take what he's given you away from you.
Amen.
Where are you today? What's your motive for being here? B.R. Lakin, that great circuit-riding preacher of yesteryear, used to say this out of West Virginia. It's where he's from. If you don't know who he is, he was a mentor to Jerry Falwell. I heard him preach many times. What's your motive for being here? What brought you to the house of God? Then he said this, when you leave, and this community, wherever you live, is watching you, if there's no effect in your life, the message failed you. You failed the message. Don't blame the pastor. I didn't want to hear that. That's not what I come to church. I didn't come to church to go home feeling bad. Well, then get right with God and you won't feel bad.
That's right.
I want to blame the pastor. He stepped all over my toes. That is the biggest lie from hell there is. It's the Spirit that does the convicting. It's the Spirit that does the convincing. Motives. That grace, he said in verse 12, it's God's favor on undeserving sinners. If you look at your life, and if I look at my life, and we were honest with God, we would say, God, I deserve hell.
Amen.
Jesus died for us in that while we were yet sinners. Before we were born, he saw the unforgiving spirit. And what did Paul say there? He said, bowels of mercy. Whoops, I missed that one. Kindness, missed that one. Humbleness of mind. Ain't nobody better than me. I missed that one. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Verse 12 says that God chose. That simply means that he elected us. Now, election has nothing to do with the lost. God did not elect this brother to die and go to hell and this sister to die and go to heaven. God knows who's going to accept him and God knows who's going to refuse him.
Amen.
But we don't know that. And so God gave us this command, go ye into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my Father's house might be full. You know, if you went out this week and you were trying to get people to come to Valley View Baptist Church to hear the Word of God, we've settled that Daniel's a Bible-believing preacher, we all know that, and you want them to come and you want them to hear and you want them to get saved, you want them to join the church, and how many of you folks that are workers will say amen to that? 10% of us are doing 90% of the work, and 90% of us are riding along on our backsides. Why people die and go to hell, you're sitting in your church, comfortable. It's cold outside, it's warm in here. You don't have your pastor today, but you have your pastor's friend. You have a Bible-believing preacher here.
Amen.
And when you go out of this church, what are they going to smell? Are they smelling the grave clothes? Are they smelling the grace clothes? You know, people look at me and here's what they say. You folks do it. I don't know why. Yeah. But they do it at Clearbrook. I've only been there 2.5 years. You know what they say when they come in church? Hello, Brother Andrews. You're behaving yourself. Do I look like I've misbehaved? You know why people say, I just love being around God's people.
Amen.
I ain't too thrilled about being around those that stink. Now I'm going to get a little crude. How many of you folks were raised the way I was raised and you had what they called outside Johns? There wasn't no flush the toilet. Now some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, so you go to sleep through this little section, all right? On a hot, sticky July day, you got to go to the bathroom and you run to the outside John. You might have had a one-seater, two-seater. You might have even been rich and had a three-seater. That means three people get in there at one time. What an odor it was. It almost sticks in my mind as much as those dead Viet Cong 40-some years ago. And I'll tell you what, you didn't linger in them outside Johns. If it was summer, it was too hot. If it was winter, it was too cold. And some of you were probably like my younger red-haired brother. He's 65 now. He went in one winter and it was a little cold for him. And so he decided he's going to start a fire. Don't ever try to burn a Johnny house down because it will burn. That's the smell that's on some people today. And you want to know why your church may not be growing? Don't give up. Don't throw your hands up and say, Pastor Boone's been here long enough. Preacher asked me the other day. He said, Brother Andrew's been with church 25 years. How long should I stay? I said, until God tells you to leave.
That's right.
I stayed in the pastor 36 years. And it was hard to step back. I had a regular paycheck. Most people love me, at least in front of me. They love me. Who am behind my back? I don't know. But you see, folks, if you walk close to the Lord, you can do this and not be judgmental. You can walk in the house of God and you can look. And spiritually, you can smell the people who are wearing the grave clothes. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You'll go out of the church today and you'll be here every night this week, probably some of it. But you'll deny the Lord during the day. But you'll serve Him at night. It's easy to go to church. I like what that brother said. Hey, folks, don't worry about the snow. As soon as God calls off hell, we'll call off church. I never canceled it. Just come on. Well, Brother Andrews, I don't know if I can get there. You plan on going to work tomorrow? Well, yeah, Lord willing, I got to eat. You got to be spiritually fed. Use some common sense. Find somebody that don't drive like an idiot, and that wouldn't be Mike over there. Don't let him ride with him. Now, I didn't say you were an idiot. I said drive like an idiot, okay? I've known Mike a long time. Probably won't be my friend after today, though. God knew us before the foundation of the world. I was raised in the 50s. My oldest brother died when he was 10 in the 50s. There were 6 sons. My mom raised them all by herself. And my mom had to do things that she wasn't proud of. Mom's in heaven now. But out of those 6 sons, 5 lived. Out of those 5 sons, 3 were called to preach. 2 answered and said yes. I have an older brother that's pastored for 48 years. Started the church. I pastored. I got a twin brother in heaven that said, God's calling me to preach. And he told his wife, and she said, oh no. And he backed up. And that was it. You can fool around with God only so long, folks. God elected to save you. He knew that when he touched your heart, he knew that he began to wring your heart. He knew that when he exposed sin in our lives, he knew that we would fall on our face and say, "Be merciful unto me, O God Almighty." Aren't you glad he saved you?
Amen.
We don't have to wear the grave clothes. We don't have to smell like we just came out of the world. A lady was debating with me yesterday at a birthday party. The man was 80 years old and the family had a birthday, surprise birthday party. So we went over to church and she wanted to debate me about tobacco. Dip, chew, snuff, flip. I never could understand why anybody put tobacco in one end of the mouth and fire on the other end. And she said, "The Bible doesn't say anything about smoking." I said, "What a testimony. Go out here and try to win people to Jesus and let them see that there's an eternal hell and you smell like you just came from there." Now, you all know me, I'm blunt. You folks are fooling yourselves. You're pointing your finger at Pastor Boone. You're pointing your finger at somebody in this church and you're saying you have no idea. But God does. And if a forgiving God can forgive you, can't you forgive your friend or your neighbor?
Amen.
Maybe it's you and your grave clothes that's stopping God from doing what God wants to do. Well, God can do anything. I ain't going to get in his way. Heard Stanley say, you've heard me preach, if there's sin in the, if we got it in our heart, we can quench the power of God from doing anything, and you can have the best speakers that this country has to offer all week long and go home Friday night and come back next Sunday morning and be just as dead as you've been in the past.
Amen.
And you have been dead in the past. If you're building this church on emotion, you're going to fail. If you're building it on record numbers of people, you're going to fail. If you're building it on anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ, you have failed. He's the one that must be lifted up. So nobody here will buy my grave clothes today. Why? Because they've been on dead people. And I don't want to wear... Isn't it amazing? We wouldn't buy clothes that a funeral director would give us, but we'll sell our wife and her husband clothes when they die. My husband's dead. He don't need these suits anymore. Here, you can have them. And we take them and put them on going down the road. Now, if you die, don't will me your clothes. Your money, but not your clothes. Death is not a pleasant thing. But I got some news for you. We're all going to face it. I'm not but 66, but I think about it more often than I used to. Am I ready to meet God? I see. I want to call his name, but I can't think of his name. Looking right at him.
Brian.
Yeah. I knew it. See, you people don't even know what his name is. I remember the night he wanted to accept the Lord as his Savior. Am I correct? It was camp. It was in your mind and you were asking Grandpa questions. Later on you did get saved, but it was at camp that started influencing. He was hearing the Word of God. Now I can tell you this. Any of you, including this young boy, can smell the odor. How many of y'all like to be around somebody that hasn't taken a bath? Hasn't used any deodorant. Hasn't used any mouthwash in months. I fuss at Pastor Brian. He's 28. He's unmarried. And I didn't know that young men didn't know what liquid shoe polish was. And Brian had gone around and looked like he'd done his shoes like this. And that's the way he wears them. And I said, "Brian, why don't you get some shoe polish and polish your shoes? Because people do notice." He said, "It's too much work. I've got to put the paste on, then I've got to brush it." I said, Have you ever heard of liquid shoe polish? He said, what's that? And I said, I'll bring you some tonight. He still hasn't used it. People used to say, Brother Andrews, when I get to preaching, I'd take my shoes off and the first two rows would faint. Did you take your shoes off while you were preaching? Ask Daniel Boone, a smart fella. Sitting in camp one year, and Mike Kahn, Daniel Boone, Mike Vest, a bunch of them, Jeff, all sitting down there shooting the breeze. And Mike Vest said, what is that terrible smell? And before anybody could say anything, Daniel Boone said, Brother Andrews took his shoes off. And it was true. I had the worst smelling feet. I don't anymore. You want me to take my shoe off and show you? It's all about God's grace, that it might bring glory to God. See, it's not about you. Once you get saved and you put on those grace clothes, it's about the Lamb of God. It's not about you. Amen. Yes, your problems, your heartaches, your burdens, all the things you're going through, that is important to God. And He'll help you to get through it. In our married life, we wondered, how are we going to eat? And we watch God provide. Matter of fact, I was just asking God yesterday, Lord, I ain't preached in about a month. Would you give me a place to preach? And then I would remind God like He needs to be reminded and He forgets. Lord, You called me to preach and I ain't preaching nowhere in a month. Telephone rang this morning. Daniel, yeah, I'll be there. See how God works it out? And he was already sick. And he planned to come. But God let him get sicker and sicker and sicker. Until you got me. Now you're really sick, right? God's grace bounds to us all. Sin is when we break God's law, when we don't do what God wants. And when we break the law of God, we break the loving heart of God. Every time. Ever have your kids disappoint you? I mean, hey, Dad, look what followed me home. I don't know where he come from. He's 18. I think we're going to get married, but he followed me home. And it's very, very difficult when that first one leaves the nest. Fortunately, we only had one, went through it once. It's hard. When you know that somebody here is wearing their grave clothes and you're too afraid to say anything to them because you might offend them and you don't want to offend them. So you'd rather them just continue through life smelling like a cemetery. I don't want people upset with me. I like getting along with everybody. And I do too. But now and then it takes somebody besides the preacher to say, you know, we need to talk. Just me and you over some coffee. We need to talk about the personal things, the imminent things that stand between you and your God. If they don't want to talk, you've done your part. It's difficult. God said He forgave us. Jesus said He forgave us for the sake of the Lord Himself. We're set apart, we're loved, we're forgiven. That all adds up to grace. Then He said, put on those tender mercies. God showed His kindness by saving us. Shouldn't we exhibit the same thing? And then finally, in Colossians 3 and verse 15, the peace of Christ. The peace of God that passes all. You can fake a lot of things, but you can't fake peace. You can't fake peace. I'm talking about this deep inner peace. Do you know that we have been at war with a country for 67 years? Does anybody know what country it is? Been at war with them for 67 years. Nobody knows? What's the matter? Don't you people read the history books? We technically have been at war with North Korea. There was no peace agreement ever signed in 1953. Technically, we've been at war. We just signed some accords and that was it. The DMZ in North and South Korea is the most heavily guarded border in the world. Blink an eye and either side could blow up the other. That's not peace. How many of you were around in 1962 during the Cuban missile crisis? Me, y'all remember that. And John F. Kennedy, our president, went nose to nose with the Soviet dictator Khrushchev. We were on the brink of nuclear war and destroying the entire world. It came that close. I remember it. I remember looking at my mom across the supper table and saying, "Mama, are they going to blow up the world?" And tears running down my mother's face, and she's saying, "Boys, I don't know what they're going to do." So only one of the few times I ever saw my mother scared. And if you live during that time, you know what I'm talking about. We're living in a time now when the whole world hates one nation, Israel. One of the main reasons on May the 14th, 1948, that Israel became a nation was because of Harry Truman. Harry Truman was raised and studied the Bible. His mama taught him the Word of God. And the Word of God said one day they're going to come back. And against all of his generals, all of his advisors, everybody, Harry Truman came out in support of the nation of Israel. 3 days later, the entire Arab world attacked them. Yet they still stand.
Amen.
When all the nations are gone, Israel will still be here. Read your papers. Look at what's going on. But I think what I see, without being judgmental, I know it, and I'm not judgmental, that what I see in our churches today, and I've been in a lot of them now, is what I see here. You come in, you greet one another, you have a song or two, you hear the choir, the pastor gives the message, and you go on till next Sunday. Forget tonight. Forget prayer meeting. I mean, this is it for you. 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, that's it.
Amen.
And you want to know why God's not doing anything. Look at all these empty chairs. Who could you have brought with you today? Just a little bit of encouragement and able to come with you. But you were afraid to encourage them because you still had the grave clothes on. God dressed you in grace clothes. I've been saved most of my life. I've been in the ministry most of my life. I've served the Lord most of my life. But every now and then, I've taken off the grace clothes and put on the grave clothes. I've given in to my buddies and my pals and people I know. I've given in to peer pressure. In closing, one of the saddest times in my life or sometimes in the spring of 1970. And I'll give you this short story and I'll close. There was a black man whose name was Kuda. That was his first name. We used to tease him. Now this guy wasn't just black. He was black. And when he smiled, everything lit up. And we'd tell him at night, "Shut your mouth before you get us all killed." Because he had that white smile. And I knew Kuda for about 11 months. I laid in the foxholes. I counted the bodies. We dressed each other's wounds. He was one of my best friends. He was Catholic. And I never told Kuda about the Lord Jesus Christ. A few days before I was scheduled to rotate out of Vietnam back to the States, Kuda was shot. And it nicked his heart. And all of a sudden, I wanted to get my grace clothes back on. And I'm holding this black man in my arms with his insides running in my hands. And I'm trying to tell him about the Lord. And he looks at me like I am nuts. Because he had saw how I had lived those 11 months in the jungles. He had saw the things that I'd done. And even if he hadn't died, he would not have believed me because I wanted to put on the grave clothes. I wanted to be one of the guys. And I'm afeard that one day I'm going to see him at the great white throne judgment. And he's going to look at me and say, "You could have told me, but you didn't. You were too busy wearing the grave clothes. You were too busy being an unforgiving person. You were too busy with yourself to tell me the greatest story ever told." Sing it with me. Jesus loves me, this I know.
For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me He not only loves me, He loves the world. Come and take off your grave clothes. Put your grace clothes on. And go out and tell them kudos about the Lord. Your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, before it's too late. Heads bowed. In a moment I'll ask my brother, he's going to come and lead you in a hymn. And I would ask you not to come for me, please.